Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for February the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're encouraged by good news happening everywhere. We're also encouraged by good, honest Americans understanding the checks and balances are key to the restoration of the freest, greatest country on the planet. Welcome to the broadcast. Our guest, Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, joins us now. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be with you.
Now, Donald Trump's been in office for 2 weeks. Do you have a quick summation of your thoughts?
Well, I think from our perspective, the most exciting thing is Gorsuch, the Supreme Court nominee. He seems to be the kind of person who's going to rule in favor of the First Amendment, which is important because we've got a number of cases working their way to the Supreme Court challenging forced unionism, saying that being forced to pay money to a union as a condition of government employment is a violation of the First Amendment. And so that's something I think we're pretty excited about.
You think he's really cut from the cloth of Antonin Scalia?
You know, it's very hard to predict. I think, when we looked at the record of Roberts and Alito, we actually kind of looked at them both and said, well, it looks like maybe Roberts would be a little stronger than Alito on this. And now we've seen Justice Alito has been the one leading the charge on our issue, and I think on a number of other issues he's been kind of a stronger justice. But it's hard to predict, but the indications are good. I think when you looked at the list he had put out there, and then you looked at the sort of the short list that we were hearing about in the last couple weeks, I think it seems to be a good choice. You never really know 100%, though, of course.
Our prayers can only be that it works out right. Has Donald made some moves for the right to work cause yet?
Well, we've seen a few things. I mean, we're still waiting on some more actions. One thing he has not done yet, and we're hoping he can get to it shortly, is naming two new members to the National Labor Relations Board. There are currently two vacancies there. There's currently a 2-to-1 majority of Obama pro big labor appointees. So they have the majority right now, and all he needs to do is name two people. Because of the maneuvers Harry Reid did to get rid of the filibuster for all nominees except for the Supreme Court, it would only take a majority vote. That should be fairly easy to get in the Senate. The president's party gets the majority. That's pretty established. There's nothing unusual about that at all. So that's one of the things we'd like to see happen quickly. He has already named the only kind of Republican current board member as the chairman, but obviously if the chairman has one vote and there are two opposed to him on a lot of these issues, that doesn't mean much. What we need are the two new members so they can have a majority and start really undoing 8 years of very terrible, very activist activities by the National Labor Relations Board that clearly in the Obama years prioritized union power over the rights of individual workers and then also over the ability of businesses to run in a sort of common sense way that they ought to be able to.
Do we have some people working with and or talking to Trump about this now?
Yeah, we've, we even before he came into office, we had been active in giving some suggestions, trying to put together a short list, and I know that continues. So hopefully it's something that'll happen soon. Obviously the cabinet nominees got a lot of attention, and then the Supreme Court is getting a lot of the attention now. That's understandable. For many people, the National Labor Relations Board is sort of an obscure agency. You're lucky. Hopefully, most people never have to deal with it in their life because it can often be a bureaucracy and, and these rules can be very complicated and unfortunately deliberately so. But it is something that's important, and for the workers who turn to the National Right to Work Foundation, if they're in the private sector, oftentimes that's where they have to go first in order to try to get justice, to try to stop sort of activity. You know, oftentimes a union may be preventing them from resigning, and they may be keeping forced dues, and the only way to stop that and eventually get that money back is through the National Labor Relations Board, at least at the first step. You know, there is an appeal process to the federal courts after the board has acted, but in order to get it done, that's where you have to go first. So it would be that would be a something that would be good to get the ball rolling on, because they will have to have Senate hearings. Like I said, it shouldn't be, you know, very controversial, although we've certainly seen from the president's other nominees, the Department of Labor and Betsy DeVos at the Department of Education, that so far the biggest opposition from the left have come in the areas where unions have a lot at stake.
No question. Surprising. The teachers' union is massive. Betsy DeVos, they say that we'll find out by noon today, right? Whether
that's what they're saying. They're saying it's going to be very close. And, you know, it's just a real example of how much teachers' unions have an influence in the Democrat Party. I think they are the big, big money behind a lot of the power base. You know, there are millions of teachers in this country who are forced to affiliate with one of the two major teacher unions, the AFT or the NEA. In most states, or not most states, but in many states, they're forced to pay dues. And then we see that money turned into political influence. And I think that's what we're seeing with Betsy DeVos.
And the sad part about this is most of the teachers don't even really realize what their money's advocating, do they?
No, I don't think they realize that. I don't think that many teachers are opposed to, you know, things like school choice and charters. You know, I mean, fundamentally, they say, look, you know, let's do what's best for the kids. Maybe they've gotten a lot of propaganda from their union, paid for with their own money, telling them that that school choice is a bad thing.
The pro-death folks don't believe in choice, do they?
No, yeah, of course not when it comes to union dues or public schools or anything like that.
Now, what's funny about this is these congressmen and senators are saying how Betsy doesn't understand the government school scenario, but all these elites have their kids in private schools anyway, don't they?
Well, yeah, we've always seen that. That's always, you know, been the elite sort of top-down mentality is, you know, well, I should be able to make the choice, but you regular people, you don't deserve that. Or, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's what they say. Maybe they really are just reacting to the power and the money of big labor in this situation. Because I think, you know, I recall back in 2008, before President Obama was elected, he had met behind closed doors, off the record, but, you know, reports came out with a bunch of sort of liberal activists in New York City. And he said, you know, I am in favor of charters, and I think charters may not be the only solution, but that should be part of the solution to making education better. And then, of course, we saw no action on that. In fact, the only action we saw was the other way, ending some of the charter school programs in the District of Columbia and having a Department of Education that went against that. So, you know, I actually think that there's pretty widespread support for, you know, just a more choice in education and saying, look, what we're doing now isn't working. We need to find different things. We need to try different things to get our kids a better education. But you see the power of the teachers union and the forced dues that they have gives them such a massive, oversized influence. And it's an interesting issue. But, of course, it comes back to the Supreme Court, which is that money is all at stake in the Supreme Court nomination. You know, I know we talked last year about the Friedrichs case, which ended up tied 4-4 after Justice Scalia died. But we've got another case coming out of Illinois. We think it could be at the U.S. Supreme Court this fall. They'll probably at that point decide whether or not to take the case, and then it could be argued less than a year from now. And by, let's say, June 2018, we may have a decision striking down forced dues for all public sector employees. And so, you know, when we talk about the power of public sector unions, public sector union bosses who collect so much of their money through forced dues, it's possible that's all coming to an end and that Gorsuch could be the deciding vote on that issue. And that's one of the reasons we're excited about the prospect of him being the ninth justice, and they're trying to rally, the National Right to Work Committee is going to rally support for that.
All right, Patrick Simmons with us, righttowork.org, back in seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, what can we, the people, do to help out the cause? That's the next question, and we got to get right to work, a national issue. We've got the opportunity with Mr. Trump in office and jobs coming back. Let's see what we can get done, huh? Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org on your radio. We're making a difference. We're waiting for a couple of appointments on the labor board from Donald Trump. We hope that gets done soon. It'll make all the difference in the world. We're also hoping the Supreme Court justice can get this done, and he'll get, with the advice and consent of the Senate, he'll become the next Supreme Court justice, because we believe that'll really advocate for the right to work. Is there anything critical happening now, and what can we do to help, Patrick?
Sure. Well, there's some real exciting things going on. So yesterday, Missouri became the 28th right to work state. The governor there signed right to work into law, and so that follows Kentucky this year in terms of adding to right to work states. But, you know, ultimately, the power to force the workers to pay dues or fees as a condition of employment comes from federal law. And so for many years now, we've advocated for a National Right to Work Act. And just last week, Congressman Steve King of Iowa and Joe Wilson of South Carolina introduced the National Right to Work Act, as they have in previous sessions. And we expect a similar National Right to Work Act in the Senate with Rand Paul as the lead sponsor. And we're hoping that this year we're gonna make some real progress on that. Obviously, you know, during Obama's years, we had a president who would veto it even if we got it to his desk. During the primary, Donald Trump said in writing in a survey to the National Right to Work Committee that if a National Right to Work Act came to his desk, he would sign it into law. And so our focus is making that happen. And it's obviously early, but going to the National Right to Work Committee website, nrtwc.org, people can sign up for our email list. They'll get notifications about that law and everything else, and they can get involved. We can collect petitions. We can get it to their congressmen and their senators, ask them to co-sponsor, and hopefully we can build support for this bill and get it to Trump's desk. That would ultimately solve the problem for private sector workers of being forced to pay union dues, because this comes out of the National Labor Relations Act, which was, of course, passed first under FDR and then amended in the 50s with Taft-Hartley. That's where the problem comes from of this coercion, and it would be solved by a National Right to Work Act. So that's one of the things that we're focusing on right now.
You know, Patrick, it's amazing to see, you know, the different things that are going on across the country. For example, the Missouri thing that you mentioned, you know, what kind of headlines has that been getting? I try to scan the news the best we can, and I didn't see any real big headline on that, and you'd think it'd be a pretty good size news story, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there have been news stories, but I think you're right that, you know, passing a right to work law used to be kind of a once in a decade event. I mean, we went from 2001 when Oklahoma became the 22nd right to work state. It took all the way until for over a decade, 2012, until Indiana became the next right to work state. Since then, we had later that year, 2012, Michigan passed right to work. The next year, Wisconsin, followed by West Virginia. Now we've had—I mean, it's become—it's a very big deal, and but it's become almost so regular, it doesn't get the giant headlines across the top of the Drudge Report or wherever you're looking that that maybe in the past it has. But I think that's a testament to you know, the progress that's being made here. You know, people have always been opposed to forced unionism. When you poll the American people, you know, 75-80% say, of course, every worker should be able to join a union, but no one should be forced to join, and no one should be forced to pay dues.
And it should never be like the Hotel of California, when you can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave. I mean, that's the problem, right?
Absolutely. And I think in terms of the momentum on the right to work issue and all these new states, what we've really seen is with states like Indiana and Wisconsin, first with Act 10 and then later with right to work, you know, people were scared of the issue. Republicans, frankly, were scared to go out and say, you know, look, we need to end forced union dues. They were worried about union political power, which is, of course, fueled by the very forced dues that right to work laws address. And then when they saw someone like Governor Walker in Wisconsin take on the unions and win repeatedly, first in the Act 10 legislative battle, then in the recall, then in reelection, and they saw in Indiana Republican majorities grow and grow after they voted for right to work and enacted a right to work law there, I think you've seen suddenly a lot of elected officials in these state houses say, well, not only is this the right thing to do, this is the right policy, this is a pro-freedom policy, but I don't need to be scared of it from a political, let's get, you know, make sure we're reelected aspect. And they've realized that, that right to work is popular, and that if they do the right thing on right to work in the legislature, when it comes to the ballot box and their reelection, they get rewarded for that.
The point is, real leadership will be backed by Americans.
Yeah, I think so. Certainly on this issue, I mean, it's very much an issue of a small but very powerful special interest versus a majority of people, but many of whom, you know, I mean, these are people who care about a lot of issues. Yes, they support freedom, but, you know, maybe, I mean, if you're a union boss and literally your salary comes from forcing workers to pay you money as a condition of their job, you are all in on the right to work issue. If you're just a small business owner, you treat your employees right, maybe you're not, you know, they're not agitating for a union, they don't want a union, it's an issue that you agree with, but you don't have, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars on the line when it comes to right to work. And so that's really what the National Right to Work Committee focuses on, is taking that broad grassroots support and then making sure that elected officials know it's there and feel that that overwhelming support so that they know that if they do the right thing, the people will be there for them.
Righttowork.org, the website. Ladies and gentlemen, get involved. Learn about what they're doing today. Patrick, any final thoughts before we let you fly? We really need to advocate for this to be one of the key issues in the first 100 days for Donald Trump. If we want to bring jobs back, in my humble opinion, this is where it starts.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think we're going to have some more news coming up. I'll give you a little sneak preview of that. One of them is, of course, Trump has talked a lot about infrastructure. And one of the problems when it comes to federal infrastructure problem, you know, projects is a law called Davis-Bacon, which basically mandates that unionized companies be used and that these contracts end up getting rigged against the 90% of construction workers who choose not to join a union, and in favor of this small percentage. It drives up the cost, it creates a lot of bureaucratic rules, and it's discriminatory and unfair. And one of the things I think you'll see a push for in the coming weeks and months is for President Trump to do something about this. There's some legislative possibilities, there's just some things he can do through executive orders that could address this. Because it really is a rigged system right now, and it means that if he tries to do the infrastructure spending he talked about a lot during the campaign, we're going to see 10% of that money be just wasted because of that.
So, and it's about putting the right people on the labor board, ladies and gentlemen. It's about pressuring Donald Trump to sit down and discuss this, and it's about exposing this scandal. We need to bring home the bacon, not put bacon in the way, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick Simmons, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
There he goes. He always does a phenomenal job. Righttowork.org. Patrick Simmons on your radio. I think Mac just got done talking to Ted Cruz. Update on that in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Spanish philosopher George Santayana is best known for the deathless and tirelessly recited truism, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." One of his lesser-known maxims, "Skepticism is the chastity of the intellect," applies to both political figures and media sources that cover them. The legacy media has endured an overdue and well-deserved bout of public skepticism, much of it embodied in the newly minted term of art, fake news. Unfortunately, that expression has been quickly repurposed into a cliché deployed to dismiss any report that doesn't validate the prejudices of those who use it. The president has eagerly embraced that approach, contemptuously dismissing CNN as fake news and ordering his staffers not to grant interviews to that network. Trump used a February 4th Twitter post to insist that any negative polls are fake news, just like the CNN, ABC, NBC polls in the election. Sorry, people want border security and extreme vetting. While Trump was correct in saying many, but by no means all, pre-election polls proved unreliable in the 2016 election, as they had been in previous contests, public opinion polling of the kind Trump is talking about, gauging Americans' views on a policy issue or even on the president, doesn't suffer from this weakness, contends Stephanie Slade of Reason magazine, who has written extensively on polling techniques. The political danger to President Trump is that he will ignore public opinion and cocoon himself within a tight-knit group of sycophantic advisers who refuse to share any troubling but necessary news. A president who behaves that way will become an acute danger to the country as well. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sheriff Richard Mack just walked out of Ted Cruz's office. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas in Washington, D.C. Richard Mack is at the Senate building. He just walked out of Ted's office. Sheriff, you got an update, sir?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. He was actually having a little bit of a reception, and I was the last one in line of about 20 people who he had been just meeting with and taking pictures with. His staff told me, you need to go in there and get in that line so you can talk to him one-on-one. So we only had about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So I talked to him about Cox and Kettler, and Sam Girod handed his staff, Patrick, the folder that my wife and I prepared that has the current list of our supporters and the Freedom Coalition. And I reminded him who I was. He looked at me like, hey, I know this guy. And I reminded him, I said, hey, you and I ran for office together. I was running for U.S. Congress while you were House of Representatives while you were running for U.S. Senate. And we shared the stage together. And he goes, oh, yeah, Sheriff, how are you? So then I told him that we needed his help in getting this in front of Trump. And he says, I totally agree. He's, you know how anti-federal bureaucracy Senator Cruz is. And so this is right up his alley. He said, I have daily contact with the Oval Office. And I said, we really need your help. And he committed to help. I did not ask him to put his name on this yet, but I am asking his staff to do that, to help him and encourage him to put his name on our list. I hope that that happens. But more importantly, I hope he just helps. And I told him and his staff, I am not here for me. I'm here for the little guy who has been so cruelly abused and unjustly imprisoned by our own federal bureaucracies, who are very cruel and ruthless people. Some of these people, I don't understand, Sam, how a bureaucrat can go home at night and say, well, I did my job today. I put an Amish farmer in prison, and he faces 48 years. Life in prison for this chickweed. Not because he's done anything wrong, but because he didn't follow protocol, Sam. He didn't do what he was told. He didn't bow down and kiss the ring of the czar. And that's exactly what happened. He stayed true to his religious beliefs that he doesn't answer to government, that he's done nothing wrong, so he has absolutely nothing to do with government. They have no jurisdiction over him. Only God is his sovereign. And so, you know what? He followed his religious beliefs, and it got him put in prison. we can't allow that to happen here. And I really was encouraged by Senator Cruz's support and his obvious siding with this key issue.
We really need to get Senator Ted Cruz to put his name on our list, though. If we start getting a couple of senators, the ball will start rolling. We got to have that happen.
And I will tell you, his staff was the most open of anybody I've met here in a long time. You and I were in the same building not too long ago, and a couple of years, I guess. And we just didn't get the kind of reception we got here that we got in the others, except for maybe Senator Lee. And I need to try to go see him right away. And I think some of the newest senators, freshman senators, are kind of put in this one building here because I've just kind of seen where that kind of goes. So
well, and spending your time with them because they're closer to the people, they're not so entrenched or whatever, makes sense,
yeah,
too. You're
going to
go see Senator Jeff Flake right now?
I went into his office, and they said he's not there. And I told them that I met him and saw him at church. 9 days ago, yeah. That was where one of Daisy, my little student from Heritage Academy, is now going on a mission, and she was speaking that day, and it just happened to be Senator Flake's ward. And so I shook his hand real quickly and said, I need to come see you.
All right. So hopefully you can go back, and did they tell you when he'd be in?
Say that again?
Did they tell you when he'd be available?
No, they said, I gave them my card, of course, and they said they would get back with me. And I said, I'm here all this week. I'll come back day or night. I told Senator Cruz's office the same thing, and I told Senator Cruz the same thing. I said, I'll be here as long as it takes, and you need me at any time to work on this, to help do it. I said, I need help getting this in front of President Trump. And so... I don't think this first morning could have been any better at this
Where are you
point.
Going now, Mike Lee's office?
Meeting.
Where are you going now, Mike Lee's?
I'm going now to Rand Paul's office.
All right, Rand Paul's office. I've been having a hard time getting a hold of his office. Why don't I let you fly now, and I'll call you back. If you can get there in the next few minutes, maybe we can report on that, too.
All right, thanks,
thank you, sir. All right, there he goes. Sheriff Richard Mack just walked out of Ted Cruz's office. And reported on his conversation with Ted Cruz. So far, we don't have Ted's name on the list, but he did show preliminary good support for it. The staff was open, and we'll see what happens there. Now the good sheriff's going to go see Rand Paul and then Mike Lee. We're talking about some of the newer senators, some of the senators that we believe we have a relationship with, and some of the senators who have some of these poor, abused citizens in their states. That's why he's going to Rand Paul's office, because the Amish farmer that dared to create chickweed into salve for people's skin and now in jail, the poor Amish farmer there is in the state for Rand Paul. So hopefully Rand will be available. He'll take this seriously. When you get a huge coalition representing a constituent of your state, that's pretty significant, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see how Rand Paul responds. Is he as open, as cordial, as supportive as Ted Cruz preliminarily has been? Time will tell. But we're going to do this, ladies and gentlemen. You've got Liberty Roundtable Live, the chief primary reporting service on this. We're emailing our coalition efforts to all kinds of people. And we're getting several avenues, hopefully, to President Donald Trump. We've really got to focus on this, folks, and we need all your help and all your financing and everything we can have to get this done. Richard Mack is spending time in Washington, D.C. right now. If the funding can allow, we'd like to send several more people because it's a really, you know, there's 535 members of Congress and one of Richard Mack right now. We've got a lot to do, Kurt.
But you know, imagine if Mack had like one of those little fly around things. He could just cruise around from office to office. But I'll tell you what, he usually is wearing those cowboy boots, and it's a little tough walking around there, but I hope he's using a Uber every so often.
I told him to wear his tennis shoes for this one, so he can just sprint from location to location and get his exercise in at the same time. Come on.
That's right. Good point. Yeah.
You know, so we're going to be reporting what's happening. I've tried to call the Capitol. It's just buried. Mm-hmm. I wanted to basically tell, you know, anybody that I can get a hold of, please support Betsy DeVos And secondarily, you know what? Can you help us with our freedom or the freedomcoalition.com effort, the freedomcoalition.com?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're really doing a work here, folks, a valuable service. Because, you know what, right now it's an American that you may not personally know, but tomorrow it could be you.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why it's so important that we stand up and get involved. There's an incredible article written by Bill Federer, Why Ronald Reagan Opposed Socialized Medicine, Kurt.
Yeah, and, you know, you look down, it's a pretty lengthy article, but, you know, right down at the end, at least in my opinion, you know, you get a lot of the meat. I guess at Reunion Arena in Dallas in 84, Reagan stated, "Without God, there's no virtue because there's no prompting of the conscience. Without God, there's a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy," I don't know why I use that, "but will not and cannot long endure. America needs God more than God needs America. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." And the last paragraph from this good article says, WorldNet Daily Peace, in 1961, Ronald Reagan stated, "One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. James Madison in 1788 said, there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. What can we do about this? We can write to our congressmen and our senators, say right now that we want no further encroachment on these individual liberties and freedoms. We do not want socialized medicine. If you don't, this program, I promise you, will pass, and behind it will come other federal programs that will invade every area of freedom as we have known, until one day we will awake to find that we have socialism, and you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America when men were free."
Amen to that. Quick pause. Why Ronald Reagan Opposed Government Medicine. Incredible article by Bill, how do you say his last name, Federer?
Yep, William Federer.
Doing a great job. We'll talk about it more in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Bill Federer writes an incredible column, Why Ronald Reagan Opposed Socialized Medicine. Wow, great job. Ronald Reagan remarked to the Heritage Council in Warren, Michigan, October 10th, 1984, Henry David Thoreau, government governs best which governs least. Ronald Reagan, ladies and gentlemen. So while Ronald is...
That almost sounds like getting rid of 75% of the regulations, right?
Amen to that, yeah.
Or maybe 90% or 90. Yeah.
While Ronald Reagan echoes truth from the grave, Donald Trump is trying to get rid of Obamacare, and believe it or not, the Republican Congress... lackluster, to say the least. We got to get on this, yep. Folks. We got to get something done. So that's another example. Donald Trump doing good. Sheriff Richard Mack talking to Ted Cruz. They're both doing good.
That's right.
Now, our tactic is to politely talk to Congress, to write letters and petitions, to put our names on lists to stand up for freedom, to do radio talk shows, to advocate for the best causes we can. But our enemies... And the folks that hate Donald Trump destroy cars, destroy property, harm and abuse people. And I guess this is getting worse because bad moon's rising. Article by Chelsea Schilling, WND.com, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. The headline, bad moon's rising, : hundreds to drop trousers for Trump. Not for Trump, I'm sure, but, you know. But anyway, they say nearly 1,000 anti-Trump protesters are planning to bend over and moon Trump Tower in Chicago for 10 seconds at the crack of 4 p.m., it says, on February 12th. And they say, this Chelsea Schilling lady writing for World Net Daily says, and somehow by exposing their bare derrieres in 40-degree weather, they plan to send President Trump a powerful message and convince him to release his tax returns.
You know what needs to happen, Kurt, is what needs to happen is the cops need to go out there and they need to arrest every one of them the second they do it for indecent exposure and give them a fine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what... It's supposed to happen. It's called law, Sam, right? They say the partially disrobed gathering, which will be held at 401 North Wabash Avenue in front of Trump International Hotel and Tower, is called a Operation Kiss Our... Well, anyway, Release Your Taxes. It's being organized by... Well, anyway, a comedy group, they say, that describes itself as a satirical news show covering the worst in current events.
Ain't that funny? I don't find it funny, Kurt.
No, I don't find it funny either. At the time of this report, the group's Facebook page had 3,100 individuals interested in the event.
See, but this is the point, though, Kurt. You get all these ne'er-do-wells. They'll all put their money where their mouth is, all support it. We get, 50 people on our petition and struggle. They get 3,100 in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and they say they got 895 who've RSVP'd, indicating they plan to attend. Anyway, bottom line is that's
bad
what
moon's
they're
rising.
One of the things planning next. Huh, Sam?
Now, I thought we left the bread and circus behind, but Kurt wants to go back to it, ladies and gentlemen.
The bread and
Patriots,
circus.
Super Bowl. Comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Snares $111 million.
Well, see, and this story, Sam, you know, to me, and by the way, I watched part of the Super Bowl last night, as I typically try to do on Mondays after the Super Bowl. Well, you know, I just wanted to see. They say they had a tremendous, you know, finish. And it was the first time it went into, what do they call it?
Come overtime. From behind overtime,
and,
yes.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And you know, I mean, in my opinion, that's what we've got to do in America is come from behind and in overtime, you know.
Yeah, we can't get that done if we're watching the Super Bowl, you know? Instead of advocating for the Freedom Coalition.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Anyway, it was interesting to me. They said, oh, it snared 111 million viewers. Now, what I want to ask you, Sam, is how do they know?
Doesn't matter how they know. If they missed a few, Kirk Crosby filled in on the next day to come to, you know, catch up on the numbers.
Yeah, that's right. But in my opinion, they're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. They don't really know. They're guessing. And, you know, there is a story, though, Sam, that I'll have to send you the headline from Ars Technica.com says that the Vizio guys had smart TVs tracking viewers around the clock without consent. And the manufacturer is going to have to pay $2.2 million and delete data to settle privacy invasion charges. But that's one thing they're getting with these TVs that are connected to the internet. They're trying to get more data, I guess, that way, especially so they can, you know, sell you more stuff.
Well, if the previous way that wasn't spying on people and violating people's privacies worked, why would they do that, Kurt?
Yeah, good point, Sam.
I mean, really, if it worked the great way without violating privacy, why would you need to violate privacy? And the only answer is because they know the other way doesn't work.
That's exactly right.
And your point about that, how do they really know, is a great question. You're just not allowed to ask it, my friend.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem with you, asking questions you're not allowed to ask.
Yeah.
You got to put you in a round room if you keep that stuff up. See, that's the way these people act. And then they run around and go, you're not pro-choice, are you, Kurt? You don't believe in choice, do you? Well, these people are nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Well, Kurt, anything else to catch people up on?
You know, I mean, the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, look at the freedomcoalition.com. Try to promote that. I talked to a lady yesterday. She's working hard in the state of Utah, for example, where she's worried that they're going to lose the primary system where, you know, that's how we got Mike Lee instead of Bob Bennett, you know, that kind of thing. She's worried that they're going to lose the caucus system and all that kind of stuff, so she's working really hard. We did a little printing for her from Patriot Printing. But, you know, I let her know about the freedomcoalition.com, and, you know, frankly, there's lots of work to be done, and as Sam shows you day in and day out, he's a great example of how it needs to be done. You know, never
I'm just
resting,
one of the many,
always working, you know. Yeah.
By the way,
right.
Sheriff Richard Mack didn't answer his phone call. I wanted to get a quick update by the end of the hour here. But he must be talking to our good buddy Rand Paul because he's not
Rand
answering.
Rand Paul's office. That's right. Good point.
So hopefully that'll be happening. Kurt, I'm just one of the many. I don't really need credit or whatever. I just want to be part of the team that saves America. If I'm just part of that, What a blessing that of being. Gratitude fills my heart for the opportunity. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website, LibertyNewsDaily.com, our award-winning news service, LibertyNewsRadio.com, a lineup of incredible talk show hosts doing a great job, and TheFreedomCoalition.com, really our focus right now to make a difference. We're doing the best we can, folks, and we need your help. But I want you to know that it's you as a family. It's all of us together that are getting this done. We bring all these roundtable guests to your attention, try to give them a platform to the best of our ability. If we had more funding, we could do a whole lot more. Just imagine if we had a Washington, D.C. affiliate that could cover this when Richard Mack walks out of a congressional office and reports live.
And we know there's
the radio.
A radio station available there, so any of you of our friends that want to ante up, you know, hey, we're on board.
Buy one of those. Now, I hope people just get off the Bad Moons Rising plan and come support our plan. We have completely different tactics of how we feel like our efforts should be carried out, Kurt.
Yes.
You know, Richard Max.
Any of the bad moons rising.
And Patriot things. Printing are printing out packets to deliver to congressmen and senators.
Yeah.
While these people are running around in the Trump Tower. I think they ought to all be arrested. But again, what'll happen is they'll get promoted, they'll raise a gazillion dollars, George Soros will fund them, and then our guys will just waffle and go, well, we can't really fix Obamacare, it's too complicated. What you need to do is next election cycle, give us more supporters, give us more people that are Republicans,
we need like
and then
100,
we can do it.
You know, votes in the Senate.
Then they still wouldn't get it done.
I guess, Sam, you'll like this story from Paul Bremer. The headline reads, Left's New Catchwords, Nazis, White Nationalists. Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, is a white supremacist. That's
you know
what Nancy
they're,
Pelosi
they're
is
so
charging.
Worn out and so old and tired about that, they're wasting everybody's time.
Yeah,
it's not a white supremacist.
But they're
going to
keep it up. They say Trump supporters are all called Nazis who deserve to get beaten up, they say. The left has become fond of hurling labels such as Nazi and neo-Nazi, white nationalists and white supremacists at Donald Trump, his staff, and his supporters. Scott Greer, a deputy editor at the Daily Caller and keen observer of identity politics, said the left uses these terms to dehumanize their ideological opponents. I think he's right on target. What do you say, Sam?
Boy, howdy. No doubt about it. See, again, there's a lot of good stuff happening.
Yes.
You just got to have the venues to let you know about it, folks.
Yep, good point.
Less new catchwords, Nazis, white nationalists, supremacists, extremists. Paul Bremer doing a great job. And why don't you get a hold of Paul, Kurt, and see if he'll join our efforts.
I'll do that when I'm resting. I'll get that.
Well, maybe you ought to do that instead of watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
That's
well, there's hope
right.
for
I did
Kurt,
that.
Too.
I did part of that while I was trying to eat, and I know that I should have maybe done two or three more things, but you're the guy that can do all that, Sam. I'm just kind of the
Can't.
You know,
that's why I need your help so desperately. You know? Anyway, Dan Gooden doing a great job reporting about the Vizio scandal. Where's the mainstream press, huh? Wow, where are the press when you
they
got
to talk about the Super Bowl thing?
They
got to
talk about how their ratings
gotta,
are fraudulent.
They're
going
to have a They won't say that.
All right, just saying. All right, we'll keep you updated on everything that's going on. Hang tight. Two more hours. Liberty Roundtable takes to the airwaves again. And after all, we declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, this nation shall endure.